Ladies and big boys.
I'd just like to point out that's what you call my dogs.
I call your dogs big boys. And today is Andy.
And Imogen.
Today is Andy and Imogen, day 48 of the Inner Winner Show.
The neighbors are going to think.
Okay, I've just blown out the fucking audio there. Like, I'm having a look on this graph. I just screamed into the microphone. That's going to get clipped to hell. That's going to sound fucking horrible. So, with that wonderful introduction out of the way, what are we talking about today, young lady? Which one of us is answering most of the questions today? Is it me or is it you? Because here's a hint, it's not me. So, who is it?
It might be me.
It's you. So, we are answering some questions from a lovely couple, a lovely German couple. At least I think they're German. Imagine if they're not German.
Why do you think they're German?
I don't know. Why do I think these people are German? Are you guys German? So, it's got to be German. Why would I know that? I have so many German listeners. Like, shout outs to Germany. I fucking love Germany. So, I'll read out what he said. Here's what he wrote. All of these questions are ones that my girl is interested in Imogen's answers. Well, she's never going to get a chance because I'm going to stretch this intro out forever. But you can comment on them as well. Well, I'm just going to comment nonstop the whole time. For context, we are from Germany. See, hey, I knew that from Germany. Together for nearly 8 years. Okay, well, you guys can give us advice, bro.
Yeah.
I should stop saying bro, because she's going to listen to this too. What do we call the girl? Broette. Bro and broette. We're living together for over 5 years. I know the red pill would never approve of that. Yeah, who gives a fuck? Red pill can suck a dick. Well, they can suck your dick, and they can suck her dick. These questions are from her to Imogen. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys want me to use your names. I should have asked that, so, like, we'll just leave them out. Mm-hmm. Plus, I can't pronounce her name. I'm horrible with everyone's name.
Can I see? Which one? Where?
Let's just say their name, because he didn't say not to you. And it's only the first name.
To it? I can't see where. Like,
Caro. That's the coolest name ever. So she says, what do you think defines a healthy circle of friends for you? Either in a relationship, if that makes a difference to you or not.
Well, we talked about it a little bit before, but I don't think the relationship makes a difference.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you want your friends to have a good opinion of your partner and vice versa. But ultimately, I don't think there's much overlap. I think it's kind of a good sphere where I kind of have space to myself. Like, that's kind of my friends are my friends, and they're kind of like another aspect of my life. Obviously, like, you've met some of my friends, but
they're all short.
They're not all short.
Everyone's short.
Yeah, compared to you, most girls are short, yes.
Probably.
But in terms of a healthy friendship, I find that one of the things I look for the most is honesty.
Yeah, and I like that, yeah.
People are like, oh, of course I want my friends to be honest. But I think genuine honesty is, particularly in girls, really hard to find.
Yeah, and we can talk. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have one friend in particular. I can't remember which one. Is it the one that starts with N? Is that the one who's super honest?
No, it's the other one, the short one, who's going to get
They're
married.
All short. Okay, yeah, I know that one. And you specifically have commented to me a few times. You say, like, I really like going to her with my problems because she would just tell me the truth. She won't sugarcoat it. She'll be nice about it, but, like, she'll just tell me the truth. I know that she's not going to tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah, she's very short and fiery.
She's very short, yeah.
She will always give me her honest opinion about things. And quite often it's not what I want to hear, but at least, and it's not necessarily that I need to listen to exactly what she, like, I need to take on what she thinks, but it's good to have that opinion that I know isn't just kind of agreeing with me and saying what I want to hear.
Yeah, because that's one of the struggles of having female friends as a girl. It's like, your female friends really care about you. And this might be a weird concept for most men to listen to, but female friends don't usually tell you the truth unless you specifically make it really clear you want that, because they don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. And I mean, it's nice to have people build you up, but I think there is that element of, like, you want advice on things that, you know, is at least slightly, like, it's going to be biased, but has an element of, like, truth and, like, their genuine opinion behind it.
Yeah. And it's basically the opposite struggle that guys have sometimes. Like, sometimes guys just want to go to their mates and their mates will make them feel better. Like, sometimes they just have a problem and they kind of want the mate to be like, yo, bro, everything's going to be okay. most of the time, guys default to the truth. So we'll just tell you the truth. We'll just straight up say, like, bro, you're fat and gross. This is why women don't like you. You're really fucking fat and gross, right? And, like, sometimes maybe you just wanted your mate to be like, bro, it's okay. Like, don't worry. We'll help you with this. Like, guys can sometimes be too brutal with the truth. I like that. I really do like that aspect of masculinity. I wouldn't change that. But I think women have the opposite, which is, like, sometimes you want some brutal truth. And, yes, it might make you cry. But sometimes you need that because you're like, I'm not having success with whatever my goal is. Like, I just want one of my friends to tell me what to do. But all of them are like, I'm not going to tell you what to do because that'll make you cry.
Yeah, I think there's a huge element of that. So I think that above all else, because...
So friends that are honest or that can be honest with you when you ask for it.
That can be honest. And obviously, there's all of the things that kind of come with friendship, like someone that, you know, you can look to in a time of need, that will support you, that will kind of... help you, all of those sort of things. Like, it's, but I think for me, that's probably the most important thing in terms of other. No, I think that that's the primary thing. I think that's what I'd mainly like to focus on. Like, also, don't be a shit person. But other than that, like,
yeah, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Is there anything you require from them in terms of, like, hobbies? Do they have to have the same hobbies as you? Like, what are your requirements for a friendship? Or is it literally just that? As long as she's honest, we can get on pretty well.
I think it is. And also, so yeah, I think that's a good question because I hadn't thought of it. But I think some level of like having something going on in their lives is important as well. I definitely don't have a prerequisite where they have to share the same interest as me, but they need to be interested in something.
As in a passion, or do you mean like a self-improvement project?
I don't even think it necessarily has to be self-improvement. They just need to be, I guess, working towards something. Like, I don't think I could have a friend where it's like, oh, what you got to, and they're like, oh, not much, I didn't do anything. Like,
as in they don't have any desire to do anything or be better or learn something.
Yeah, like somebody that's, I guess, somebody that's static, that's would probably be a deal breaker in a friendship.
Yeah,
because I guess that's somebody that I don't really respect.
Yeah, so respect, the same thing with a relationship. I think respect is the most important thing in a relationship. And I require that from my friendships too. And I think just knowing you and your friends, I don't know your friends super well, but I know them like from what you've talked about them. And I think, yeah, that seems to be the case for you. And on that notion, like you guys didn't ask this question, or you girls and you guys didn't ask this question, but your friends don't have to overlap. Like, you've met one of my friends, you've met him like a lot of times, like what, like 30 times?
Probably.
You've hung out with him a lot. Like, he likes you a lot. You like him a lot. Mm-hmm. No homo, but...
It's a guy, so...
Yeah, but you still got to say that. Like,
yeah.
You mostly like him because he has a cat and you like his little cat.
He only recently got a cat and I liked him all the way.
But you knew he was going to eventually get a cat. That's why you start hanging out with him.
I was actually pretty surprised.
Anyway, stop. The point is you guys get on really well and that's the only like friendship overlap we have, right?
Yeah.
I don't really hang out with any of your friends. Mm-hmm. You don't really hang out with any of my other friends. Mm. I don't think you necessarily have to have an overlap. We at least like a lot of like independence in our lives and like separate lives and stuff like that. And then we come together and like share other things.
Yeah.
If you guys want to share friends, I go for it. I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. Mm. So I don't know if that really answers the question properly. A healthy circle of friends. I guess like talk about it as a circle. Like, what does the circle need to have? Like, do they all need to care about you? Like, she's asking in general, what does a healthy circle of friends look like? A circle of friends that adds to your life. Not just one independent friend.
I guess it's hard because I don't have... I think a lot of my friends are individual. I don't actually have lots of, like, overlapping... Like, my close friends, they're all, like, individual people. That we're not, like, one group.
Yeah, you have some friends from volleyball, some from cheerleading, some artists, some people from school.
Yeah, so they kind of, I guess, create a circle of friends. But in terms of just what, like, a healthy one, I just think it's people that... care about you, have their own shit going on, and that can give you good advice. That's
yeah. I mean, if you want to be like really autistic, like really simple about it, I know Germans love fucking making stuff simple and like they're very good at like, okay, I'm massively stereotyping, but every German would agree with this. Like, Germans are very fucking good at being like engineers and like understanding processes and like simplifying stuff, like that German engineering, like Audi is made by Germans, like stuff like that. Very simple. So let's make this super simple. Make it as simple as possible. Do your friends add to your life or do they take away? There you go. That's it. That's the only question you need to ask. is my life better because this person is my friend, or is it worse because this, or is it like the same? Mm. Like, does this person make my life better in any way whatsoever? Like, cool, okay, good. Like, that's a good friend. If you have like five of those people who all make your life better in any way, like even in different ways, I think that's a pretty good social circle. Mm. Maybe that's what a healthy friend circle is. A bunch of people that make your life a bit better.
Yeah.
And you hopefully make their life better. Mm-hmm. Speak of the devil, my friend just popped up on my phone sending a picture of his cat. I shit you not. The guy that we just talked about who has a cat, he sends me like 50 cat pictures a day. And he's the last person on earth you'd ever expect to get a cat.
Yeah. No, I was very surprised when he said
that. Yeah, I know. I thought he was trolling me. I was like, very funny. And then he has a cat and it's like, mate, no.
Because the one word you used to describe him is...
autistic.
Okay, I was going to say intense.
Intense, yeah. Yeah, the most intense guy I've ever met in my whole life.
And he's his cute little cat.
It doesn't suit him.
I like the cat.
Next question she asks you. Mm-hmm. I should just sit this one out. All these questions are for you. How to find female friends who are into self-improvement? It seems to be much rarer than men. Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry that, like, I'm sorry that it is rare. I really genuinely mean that. Mm. I fucking hate that it's so hard for women to find other women into this shit. There's lots of women. It's just, like, there's no, like, self-improvement forum for women that I know of.
Yeah, I think it does end up being a little bit hard because I think that's why honesty to me is so important, because I think a lot of casual friends have the tendency to be like, no, you're great. Like, you don't need to change. Like,
yeah, you say like, oh, I'm not happy with my weight. I think I might change it. And they're like, no, you're beautiful. You shouldn't care what other people think. Yeah. Men will love you for you, baby. And you're like, no, this is my goal. Stop talking me out of my goal, dumb bitch. But you can't say that because, like, she's your friend. So you have to be like, thanks, sweetie. That's nice of you. But I really do want to lose weight. And she's like, no, sweetie. Let's go, like, watch Netflix and talk about why you're a good person.
That's a little hyperbolic, but yeah, I find that it's definitely harder. So I think the friends that I have now that are into self-improvement, it's not a great answer, but I found them through a matter of chance. Like, I happened to fall into, like, meet them, and then we clicked on self-improvement aspects.
Yep.
But I think because this is something I have to think about actively, because we are moving interstate.
Yeah, so we're moving states, moving to a new city, and you're going to have to find a bunch of new friends, just like I am too.
Yeah, and of course, I want those friends to be people into self-improvement. I'm drawn to those sort of people. So I think in terms of what I'm going to be doing, it would be to put myself in environments that are more conducive to self-improvement and then meeting people that way. And there is an element of like playing, I guess, a sort of numbers game. Where not everyone, you're not going to click with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find people that aren't into self-improvement in self-improvement spheres. Like,
mm-hmm.
But give yourself the best chance to do so. And I think that, you know, there's an element of like screening too. Like, you can start steering conversations towards elements of self-improvement. And if people kind of click with that, then, you know, you can start snowballing with that. I think, and we talked about this a little bit before, but there is also the element of they don't need to be female.
Yeah.
Because I found that a lot of guys that I've casually had conversations with, on average, I would say more of them are into self-improvement when that's not even something I will be looking for. It'll just kind of just show up in a conversation and be like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, a lot of guys are kind of working on stuff by default because, like, I don't know, it's just part of being a man. It's like you don't feel like a man if you're not working on something. You just don't. I think that's a little more rare for women. Or you have to like actively
seek it out.
And also there's probably an element of men like to talk about what they're working on, whereas a woman probably less likely to do that because she doesn't want to sound like she's bragging. You don't want to sound like you're up yourself. Whereas a man, like, come on, what do we do? We're like, bro, did you know that my dick is 11 inches? Like, that's the first thing you would just yell at someone in a bar. You were like, bro, did you know I have a fucking car? Like, girls aren't really going to yell that shit out, right? They're not going to be like...
I will say that's actually a really interesting point because... A lot of the, I'm having a couple of interactions in mind where a guy will have a level of arrogance when he's kind of talking about his self-improvement, and I'm not even saying arrogance in a negative way, like he's talking about himself.
It's
and what
like confidence. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm far more interested in that than, I mean, I hate to fall into stereotypes too much, but the girl that's like self-deprecating and having a conversation about, like, that's far less interesting to me.
Yeah. So to summarize, and we're not finished answering this question, but to summarize so far, you don't necessarily have to find only female friends into self-improvement. There's plenty of guys who will be, and maybe you make friends with one or two of them, or they might be able to introduce you to girls who are into the same stuff.
Yeah.
You can also, so you said play the numbers game, and what you mean by that is you might have to meet quite a few people before you find some that are into self-improvement, and you just kind of open up to each one and you say like, hey, what are you working on? I'm working on this. And then maybe she'll be like, oh, you know, like I've always kind of like doing art and I'm working on that. And you can be like, cool, like I'll help you with that if you help me with mine. Like to some extent, you might have to kind of, you don't have to like take the lead or anything, but like you might have to start these conversations with some people that you meet.
Generate those sort of interactions.
Yeah. Because bearing in mind, again, like I think girls are far less likely to brag. And so you might have to get them to open up a little bit. Mm. You know, like, hey, what are you working on? You know, or do you do any fun hobbies? And then maybe she's like, well, because like you, we'd been dating for like a year before I even knew that you were good at art, right?
Yeah, it was a
while. I had no idea that you were good at art. No idea whatsoever. You just had casually mentioned it once or twice. And then a year into our relationship, I saw some stuff you'd done. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell? Did you do this? And you're like, yeah, I know it's shit. And I was like, what in the fucking Christ? You should be charging like $500 for this. And you were like, no, that's not true. And like, it took me like 6 months to convince you to start your own art store, right? And then now you're getting what, like $400 Australian, like for some of your art? Like,
yeah, I didn't really divulge it. I mean, because,
you didn't tell me because you didn't want to brag.
There's a weird sense of insecure. I guess it's insecurity behind it.
Yeah. It's like a lack of confidence. Like, should I be, is this good? Should I be bragging? And I guess because you haven't told many people, it's like self-reinforcing. Mm. So because you haven't shared your artwork with people or your hobbies or your goals or whatever you're working on, whatever you're good at, because you haven't shared that stuff, no one's really seen it to say like, wow, this is fucking amazing. So you just think it's shit. Whereas I think there's a benefit to being like a guy, to being confident or arrogant, whatever you want to call it, to being like, to boast about stuff. Because you boast about it and some people will be like, hey, that's actually pretty good. And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, that's good. That's the best thing that you've ever seen, bro. Suck my dick, bro. That's the best thing ever. So yeah, it can be self-reinforcing.
But I think to answer the question and like circle back, if you are specifically looking for female friends that are into self-improvement, I think
just... Which is what she is. She literally says female friends. Yep, yep.
I think just... which is what I'm going to be doing when we move, is going to, I mean, we mentioned it all, I mean, or you mention it all the time, but meetup.com.
Meetup.com. My favorite website ever.
Some sort of platform where you can basically just find like social groups that probably do like activities and just find the ones that you're interested in or like are more geared towards self-improvement.
Yeah. So if you don't know what meetup.com is, go to meetup.com and there's like a bunch of groups. Like, it's basically for making friends, but it's also about, like, activities and stuff like that. And, yeah, like you say, there's, like, so many groups on there that are specifically, like, for self-improvement.
Yeah.
That have women in them.
Building a business.
Like, yeah, those ones are great.
Intellectual ones.
Philosophy ones. Yeah. Like, if you go to any, like, philosophy ones. And, like, don't say, like, oh, but I don't like philosophy. Just trust me, go to a philosophy one, especially, like, the debating ones. It's not what you think. It's not, like, a bunch of people sitting around, like...
Intellectuals.
Yeah, it's not like that at all. It's, like, normal people saying, like, how does my brain work? How do humans work? Like that kind of topics. And then saying like, you know, like most of those people are into self-improvement, like very much into self-improvement. Like those are the most likely people to be into self-improvement. That's how I made a lot of my self-improvement friends, going to philosophy groups.
Yeah. And I think even if you do just go to social ones, you're surrounding yourself with people that are taking a more active approach in their life.
Yes. If you're even going to a meetup, you are probably into self-improvement to some extent. Because you're literally saying, I don't have enough friends or I don't socialize enough or I want to meet new people. I'm going to do something about it. Yeah. That's already self-improvement. That's like literally self-improvement.
Yeah.
And some of the groups, like even the basic groups, like hiking groups, fitness groups, outdoors groups, those ones are really good. Those have a lot of people into self-improvement. If you're into fitness, you don't have to be like super fit or anything. But like if you just even want to go for a walk or a hike or something, that's self-improvement.
Yeah, of course.
Book clubs. Lots of book reading clubs, those people are into self-improvement. Like if you're reading books, you're probably trying to do it to become a more intellectual person or more open-minded. Like that's self-improvement. Mm-hmm. What else? Like I went to a group that was specifically for a self... So you can just search for the word self-improvement on meetup.com. Mm. And I found this group called Free Domain Radio, which is like a philosophy which is why I say philosophy groups are great. It was a philosophy meetup. And I met the guy with the cat. I met him through that group. And he's definitely my best mate. And I've met a couple of other people from that group who have become like my second and like third best mates and shit.
You've got a list.
I got a list, bro. I got a list.
Depending on how people.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were like, I will say 50% of that group was females. At least 50%. Sometimes some meetups, there would be like 8 women and like 6 men. Like that was a because I think all the women figured out like, oh shit, like this is the group where I can make people who actually think like me. Like, we read like Atlas Shrugged, and all the women in that group had read that. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, like you guys understand all the shit in here? And they're like, yeah, of course. And like, they were all into like fitness. They weren't all super fit or anything, nothing like it. And women from all different walks of life, like some of them were married, some of them were single, some of them were young, some of them were in their 40s. Like they were all into self-improvement. Like they all wanted to be better than they were the day before. They weren't all like hardcore, you know, super over the top crazy, but like, they understood the concept of like every day you want to be just a tiny bit better than you were yesterday. Otherwise, you're like wasting your life. Like, mm-hmm. What's the point of just being the same? Mm-hmm. So find a philosophy group. Those are great. Mm-hmm. What else? Like, I feel like that's everything that you could want to go to. Sports groups? You said sports groups.
Yeah, I think anyone that takes care of their health.
That's self-improvement.
Living. Yeah. Yeah. And I think those are the sort of people that you can definitely kind of... I mean, because the idea is that if you're playing a sport, you probably want to get better at said sport.
Yeah. Even like a fucking chess group or something would be like...
Yeah.
Because I don't think... Okay, so one way you can do it is like Google self-improvement for women or something like that, or self-improvement forums for women, or self-improvement in my city, or any of that. You can like try and find if there's any self-improvement people or groups or forums or meetups or any of that stuff. Yeah. You can also then just do what we said and figure out, okay, what are some examples of self-improvement? You know, like we said, fitness, sports, philosophy, hiking, debates, that kind of stuff, weight loss. Like, think of examples of self-improvement and find those groups. And make a bunch of different friends that give you different things. Like, maybe you have a couple of friends who are into fitness and they help you keep fit and stay and look after yourself. Maybe you meet a couple who are into philosophy, so they help keep your mind, you know, going and improve your mind and stuff like that. Like, make a few different friends who give you different things, because your friends don't all give you the same thing, do they?
No, I think I think that's why it's kind of happened that I kind of have individual friends that don't really, I mean, they know, a lot of them know one another and like one another, but they're not necessarily like, we're not all in one group, because I think a lot of my friends come from vastly different backgrounds that are working towards very different things that are in very different situations, and I like that, like, combined all of their aspects of each of their individual personalities give me kind of little bits and pieces of what I need.
Yeah. And another thing I'll say is, because we're going to go on, you guys asked, or you, Caro, asked some questions about like dating women and threesomes and stuff like that, and open relation, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I can say is, like, if you guys date any girls together, I don't know if you guys want to just see girls casually or if you want to actually, like, date them. Like, I don't know what you guys want. But if you did see them a few times, which I'm assuming you want to see them more than once, you can kind of start gently introducing them to self-improvement. You can also do the same to your other friends that you already have. You can, like, gently start introducing them. Like, hey, I've been working on this. Like, do you have any goals that you want to work on? Or, you know, do you want to come to the gym with me? Or, I started art. Do you want to practice some art with me? Like...
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what you did with me. Like, I was
already
had some sort of interest in that, but you definitely made it more apparent and probably exaggerated that trait within me just by mentioning it and encouraging it.
Yeah, so encourage your other friends or girls you date if you want to, but probably more your friends, and get them interested in this stuff as well. Mm. Next question. Assuming you have nothing else to say on that. Were you always eager? So this is about three. No, wait. We skipped one. Mm. Actually, fuck it. Let's skip one.
Okay.
Let's go into the sex stuff. And then we'll come back to the one we skipped. Mm. Were you always eager to get intimate with a woman? Or was it something you had to try or learn? After your first time with a girl, did you get more interested? Or was it just a fun experience that you wanted to keep doing?
To answer that last bit of a question, just because it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more along the lines of it was fun and so I wanted to keep doing it. The way it initially started, so before I had my first threesome with you, the girl who was a close friend at the time, we had kind of already fooled around together.
What does fooled around mean? That's such a girl term. Were you just like vague? Some stuff happened. We had some drinks and we just fooled around.
Yeah, we did.
What did you do?
We're drunk.
Come on. You're talking half to women, half to men. Men want to know, like, what exactly did you do?
Well, we kissed one another and I went down.
That's too explicit.
And I went down on her.
Oh, that's dirty. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah,
you guys were drunk and you just, like, fooled around a bit.
Yeah, and we never spoke about it again. And I mentioned it to you and then you kind of pushed to have a threesome.
Yeah, you were like, so I had this girl that I fooled around with and I was like, fuck yeah, let's like make it happen, girl.
Because yeah, you were obviously actively screening for that at the time.
Yeah, I wanted to have a threesome.
Yeah.
I'd never had one before. You were like, well, I really want to fool around with this girl, but no way I can do it by myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm shy.
Yeah, I was very hesitant too. I think I would have probably been, like, it wasn't some like deep-seated desire that was like left unfulfilled. It's more just it was a fun thing. I'd be happy to do the fun thing again. And that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah. Does that fully answer the start of the question though? Were you always eager to get intimate with a woman or was it something you had to try or learn?
I think it's something I always wanted to try.
Like, would you have done it without me?
Well, technically I already did to some extent.
Yeah, okay. Would you have done more of that? Like,
probably, but they probably would have just been like drunken, like,
which is probably how most girls do it. Like, yeah, unless a guy specifically gets in, unless they actually sit down and plan it. I think most girls are like, "There's no way I can do that because that's like so fucking hard,
yeah,
and nerve wracking."
I think it always, if I hadn't met you, it would have always been just like silly, like fooling around experiences, like parties and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think I would have like actively gone onto Tinder to seek out having sex with a girl. I wasn't, because I definitely find that I'm far more attracted to men, but...
What are you, gay?
But I'm definitely open to the idea of meeting women, and it's fun. I just think, I don't know, somewhere I like the idea of it just happening.
Yeah, I was going to literally ask you, you know, that classic thing, like, does it ruin the magic if you have to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, that, like, very much girls want the guy to take the lead most of the time and for the man to do it all. Like, we don't give a fuck. We're like, yeah, that doesn't ruin the magic. I want to do it. And girls are like, yeah, thank God you want to do it. Cause like, because otherwise it's like ruins the magic if I have to fucking get in there and plan everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is a case in which, like, even now I like, cause we did it for a little bit in where I was just looking to see girls on my own. And I even said to you a couple of times, the act of seeking it out is like, not very fun.
Yeah, because you went on Tinder to try it out. We both were curious. I was like, what's it like if you go find a girl by yourself?
Yeah.
You did with that one girl, right?
I did.
You guys had sex, technically.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you didn't have a... Like, you guys had proper sex.
Yeah. And...
And afterwards, you were just like, I don't know, it was fun, but it was, like, strange.
Yeah.
And I was like, welcome to being a man. You have to do everything. You're like, but I had to do everything with her.
Yeah, it wasn't...
I had to, like, kiss her and, like, make all the moves.
Yeah, it wasn't as... fun.
Yeah, because it's like you're doing it, it's not happening to you, so you're not enjoying it as much as a woman.
Like, it was planning out and initiating it, and maybe that sounds very like, but like that wasn't as exciting, so that's why I think that's the only way it would have happened again, was if it was some weird drunken like thing at a party and it was just like, oh, this just happened.
Yeah, because when you're both drunk at a party, you're both technically like submissive.
Yeah,
because you're both drunk, so you're that's just letting true. It happen. It's like someone else is doing it. You're both kind of doing it, but it's like, oh, we're just drunk and, like, we happen to fall on each other. Whoops. The alcohol did it.
And I think it was a case in which I didn't want it so strongly that I would actively, like, choose to go and seek it out. Like, I think it's more a case of, like, it's fun and I enjoy it, but it's not a desperate urge. I think it's my best way to describe it.
And I think a lot of girls feel that same way. Because how many girls do we meet that say, like, oh, I've wanted this for so long, but like, there's no way I would have done it. But thank God I met you two and you guys can like help me. Like, how many girls have we introduced to you? You're the first girl they've ever fooled around with and they've wanted it for a long time.
Yeah. I think everyone's, I think most girls are curious.
Yeah,
like,
most girls,
feel like? That'd be kind of nice. Like, I've...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of porn with it too, and you're like, that looks fun.
Sort of. Yeah, fun. For sure. And I think if you do it the right way, the threesomes that we have, or the way we have sex, where it's like, it's not me, as in me, Andy, having a threesome. Like, I am obviously having a threesome, but yeah, it's like...
We're each having a threesome with one another.
Like, yeah, and more, I think I focus mostly on you two having fun. Like, if it's a new girl, especially, like, if she's never fooled around with a girl, I think we spend most of the time making it about her. Like, her and you.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had sex. She's had sex with guys. That's, like, nothing really amazing, but, like, with a girl. So, like, we'll spend a lot of time, like, teaching her how to go down on you, showing her what it feels like. She can just feel what it's like to, like, how many girls will just make out with you for, like, 20 minutes? And sometimes I'll just go to the other room and, like, I'll just get a drink or I'll take a piss and I'll come back and you guys are just making out for, like, 20 more minutes.
Yeah, I will say that as a girl, kissing a girl is profoundly different. Like, you're like, oh, it's just kissing another, like, it's just a person. You're kiss- it feels... very, very, very different.
What are you, gay?
It's just so soft. You don't realize how rough...
I'm soft. I'm soft as fuck.
You don't realize how rough, like, men are. Like, as in, like...
I can be soft.
The texture of your skin.
I can make my skin soft. I can put fucking lube on it and make it soft and oily.
It's just not... It just... It feels very... And then something very... It's very nice and gentle.
I can be gentle, but, like, even when I'm gentle, I'm rough. Lead gentle.
Yeah.
Like, my hands are just... I don't understand my own power. So
it's like, it's very... It's not... I don't want to, like, downplay it, but I think the best word for it is it's, like, it's nice.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So I like to just let you guys do what you're doing because I'm like, no, it's, like, a new experience for both of them. I don't want to get in there. Like, I'm still there, obviously, but, like, most of the time I'm just, like, caressing your bodies. Or I'll, like... I'll lie behind one of you and spoon you and have sex with either you or her gently, like relatively gently, while you guys make out. So it's like you guys can enjoy that experience for a while. And then obviously, like, I'll fuck the shit out of both of you. But, like, it's fun to let you guys explore that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, ultimately to answer that question, I probably wouldn't have sought it out in a major way because I don't think it's something that I... Like, I definitely enjoy it and I really love sharing that with you, Andy, but... Ultimately, I think it is a case in which I just don't like the... I really don't enjoy it as much, and it takes away the magic of it if I'm kind of, like, actively seeking it out.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Do you think doing creative stuff gives women more fulfillment than men? I don't know. I've had this, people have said this before. I shouldn't answer. How about I let you fucking answer, even though I just ruined the answer by saying that. She's asking you these questions, not me.
I don't know. I guess I don't, I can like try and like put myself in like a man's shoes and be like, what is it like to be creative as a man? I mean, for me, I find the creative aspects incredibly fulfilling in terms of being able to make and create and kind of express myself. I guess the idea is that like the self-expression is, there's a lot of, I think there's more channels as a woman for self-expression. Even if that's literally just like talking to other women. I think there's the other, you can turn that around and say, I think it's also a really good way to build something, to create something that like, which I think is a, like a more masculine trait to like use tools and build something like, depending on what sort of aspects of creativity you're talking about, but like generating something and like creating something, making something.
Yeah. Do you want my answer?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
My answer is going to be no, hell no.
For women.
Because I'm extremely biased because I see mostly men, right? Like, obviously, I see a lot of women and stuff like that. But, like, I follow a lot of creative women. Like, I'm interested in all that. I've listened to a ton of podcasts. I like creative people and hearing what they think. It's a big passion of mine, especially on YouTube. I think most men listening to this would probably say, like, no, fuck no. Men are more creative than women. Maybe we're just biased and we see mostly our own gender. But I think most guys would be like, who does all the inventing? Men. Like, who are the best painters? Not all of them, but most of them are men. Who's the best chefs? Men. Like, men like to be creative as well. I think women are creative in different ways. So, there's certain things that men just won't really do. Like, generalizing here, but, like, a woman is more likely to do some, like, I don't know how to phrase it, but, like, there's certain arts and stuff like that that women will do. Like, is a man going to crochet? There are some men that crochet, right? But like most women will crochet. Most knitting will be women. I think women are more able to express their creativity without fear of judgment.
Yeah.
Way more than a man.
So I guess if the question is like, what was, it was like, which is more fulfilling?
Do you okay, she said, do you think doing creative stuff gives women more fulfillment than men? No, I don't think so at all. I think both genders get just as much fulfillment from it. I think that women are just more able to accept that they like it. Whereas a lot of guys would be like, that's gay, bro. Art is gay, bro. No woman's ever going to be like, why are you doing art? That's lesbian.
Yeah. I think so. I think in that respect, I think because it's already easier for a woman to be creative, it's less, it's almost inherent.
And it's like you can just relax and enjoy it. Whereas a lot of guys are like, man, are my boys going to yell at me? Like, are my boys going to mock me because I'm doing art? Like, so, are they going to think that's stupid?
Yeah. So in that way, I think it was probably more beneficial for men if they are then able to like have that level of acceptance and expression, because it's something that they mightn't get in other aspects, or it might be more to like to get to that point, and therefore because you need to kind of almost overcome something, it is because there is that challenge, there's that hurdle, there's the working towards it, having that is more fulfilling. Whereas my, you know, me doing art or being creative or expressing myself or talking about my feeling, like all of that is a given. It's expected. And so it's almost, it's not
okay, women are better at expressing themselves than men, generally speaking. So maybe that's creativity, maybe that's not. Women are more easily able to get joy from that. So yeah, to answer her question, I guess she is right. Doing creative stuff does give women more fulfillment than men, probably because they're able to just relax and enjoy it and not overthink it. Yeah. So maybe she's correct.
Yeah.
Women are probably better at, like, if you put 100 men and 100 women in a room and said, you guys have to all do something creative, I think the women would just be like, cool, that's easy, I'll just start drawing. Whereas the men are like, shit, what's creative? Like, fuck, do I have to write a poem? Like, what does creative even mean? So yeah, the average woman probably gets way more fulfillment from this shit than the average man. But yeah, think, yeah, that's probably a fair statement.
But then I think when there's a situation where the man has the bit, like,
has if he's okay creative, with being creative,
then I think that's probably
equal.
Yeah, equal. Yeah,
yeah.
More beneficial. Either or. It's,
yeah.
I can't speak for men. I can't speak for all women. This is my opinion.
Yeah, but if you're asking the question, Caro, oh my God, I'm probably like saying her name so fucking horribly, right? If you're asking this question because you like doing creative stuff, and I guess you're just like trying to find, like, it's hard to know why you're asking this question. Are you asking it because you want to find other women who like, or you want to find other people who like art and creative stuff, whatever your creative stuff is, and so you think you should look for women? Yeah, probably. Honestly, yeah.
It's going to be easier to break through that.
Yeah, for fucks. Yeah, if you like art or something, yeah, I would probably tell most people, go be friends with women. I'd probably even tell most guys, like, if you're into art, probably just, like, make some, like, it's easier to find female friends. When I was into my photography, when I did a bunch of that, I would say 75% of other photographers who were creative were women.
Really?
Yeah, and it was just easier to reach out to them. I had, like, probably, like, 8 online, like, female friends who were into photography and probably, like, 2 male ones. Because the women would just be way more open to you as well. They're nicer.
They'd
just
be like, chat.
Yeah.
I think there's a stereotype that women, like, if you're like, it's the old woman that will like go and have a chat and be like, oh, that's lovely. Like, but
yeah, especially with creative stuff, like art, photography, that kind of stuff. They'll be very welcoming. That's not to say that men won't. I'm just saying it's like way easier if you go to a woman. It's like, you don't have to try. You're just like, hey, so I'm learning art. And she's like, oh, sweetie, come, we're going to be best friends. Whereas a guy's going to be a bit more, you might take a little while before you become, like, guys are generally speaking a little more closed off than a woman will be. I think everyone kind of knows that. And that's not to say that men are closed off. They're fucking not. Like, lots of guys are the most welcoming guys on earth. But women are like one step more than that. Like, a woman will grab you and hug you if you don't even know her. A guy's probably going to take a little while before he'll do that. Do you want to move on to the next question? Mm-hmm. I'm a good singer. I got a voice.
You do have a voice.
A good voice. How to flirt with women as a woman. How does one flirt with women as a woman? Imogen, queen of flirting, who's never flirted in her whole life. You asked the wrong girl this question.
Honestly, I'm too awkward to flirt.
Even when I make you flirt, you still can't flirt. Yeah, like, if I give you a direct, I'm like, do this.
And I don't derive much enjoyment from it because I just feel too awkward.
Still got to answer her question, though. She wants to know how to flirt with a woman. Just, I don't know, wink. You're a woman. You don't need to flirt. Just get your tits out. I don't mean to be crass, but, like, anything you do is sexy as a woman, especially to another woman. Especially if you're saying she's bisexual or she's already into you or she's curious or any of that. Just do anything. Smile at her. Play with your hair. Come on, why am I teaching a woman how to flirt? Just do the stuff that you would do to a man. Why do I need to tell you what to do? You tell her what to do.
Yeah, no, I think it is very much a case of...
Pretend she's a man and do that.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be different, does it?
I don't think so. Maybe it can be more subtle and it can go, like, a longer way.
Yeah, because with a man, like, there's a 99% chance the man isn't going to know what the fuck you're doing because, like, we're just not practiced at, like, looking for signals, right? You have to basically get your tits out before a man will be like, I think she's flirting with me. Like, whereas a woman, yeah, you can play with your hair while looking at her and she'll be like, oh, wow, this bitch is like flirting with me.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's the same stuff, like compliments or kind of steering a conversation towards stuff that's more sexual.
Touch her a little bit. We don't know where you are. Are you at a bar or something? Is this a random girl you've never met? Like, okay, are you guys going to bars to meet girls?
No idea what it's a random girl you've never met at a bar. That's...
Just talk. You don't have to flirt straight away. Yeah. Like, talk for a little bit and then start flirting. You know, like, this stuff's easier the longer you talk to someone.
Mm.
So, talk for an hour and then start flirting.
Yeah, compliments, touching.
Get some drinks into you, have a drink or two. Honestly, like, then you just start flirting naturally because you feel more flirty. Like, it's cheating, but fuck it, do it anyway. It makes it easier. If you're talking about flirting when... Because you guys talked about you had a threesome. And you didn't have a threesome the second time you guys met because it was a bit awkward. So, I'm guessing you... are asking, like, how do I flirt with someone that we've already had a threesome with? Or how do I, I'm guessing you're asking about that question, that situation.
Yeah. It's also...
Just grab her and kiss her.
I think it's ultimately a case of kind of just steering things in a more sexual direction. So maybe don't have a super long chat about work and your family.
Yeah, just make things a bit more fun and flirty. Because flirting doesn't just have to be, like, touching or making signals or playing with your hair or any of that. It can be that stuff. Mm. It can also be just talking about sex. Like, do you think I'm a flirty person, me?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because I would say no, I'm not flirty at all. I don't know how to fucking flirt. I'm not, like, winking or, like, licking my lips.
I don't think anyone winks.
I don't play with my hair.
Licks their lips.
But, like, I think I'm really, like, just blunt. I'm like, I would have been a good German. You agree? Germans are very, like, honest and blunt. Yeah. And they just, like, say the truth. And they don't, like, make it all sound all pretty and fancy. Yeah, and they don't waste time. They just fucking say what needs to be said. Yeah, that's me. Like, I'm German. Right? I should have been a German.
Yeah.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch? That was, like, horrible.
Mm.
I should have been a German. Right? So, I just say the truth. That's what I say with my, like, when I'm flirting. Mm. I'll just start talking about sex. I'll be like, so, what sex toys do you have?
Yeah.
And even before I was doing all the BDSM stuff, like years ago, I was still like that. I was nervous to do it, but I would just start talking about sex on a date. And that's how I started, because I didn't know how to flirt. I can't flirt. Mm. So I would just start talking about sex. Mm. I would say something like, if you're nervous, okay, so here are some actual answers to your question. Like, if you want to flirt with a woman as a woman, just start asking about her past. And I don't mean like dig into her past or some shit, but like, just say like, do you have any like, What's your worst Tinder date that you've ever been on? Everyone has an answer to that question.
Yeah.
And then you can just say, like, what's the best Tinder date? Do you have any funny stories? Like, and then you can just start talking about sex. Like,
particularly for girls that are less experienced. Like, the questions like, what have you tried? What would you like to try? Like, those, I think, are always good questions.
Yeah, you can just say, like, what's your, you know, if you want to be a little bit flirty and giggly, maybe you're not super confident. Like, you know, you can just be like, what's the craziest thing you've ever done in the bedroom? Like, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, just start with general
questions. Yeah.
But you're German. You're like going to be really good at talking about like, just say it. Just say the truth. Just say what's on your mind. Yeah. Like you don't have to be super flirty. I don't think I'm flirty. I'm not charming. Well, okay. I'm like charming, but only because I've like practiced a lot. I don't think I'm like super charming and confident or any of that. I just talk. I just say like, what sex stuff do you like? Do you like sex?
And I honestly think that it kind of makes it easier for the girl if you're not trying to, like, make it this, like, big, like...
It's actually easier to flirt if you just don't try and flirt. If you just talk about sex or dating or any of that. If you just talk about that stuff.
Yeah, it kind of removes the awkwardness of it by just being, like, blunt and direct. You're not, like, playing this little game where you're trying to... I mean, like, that can be fun to, like, try and...
Yeah, but it's a lot of pressure for everyone. Like, if you're sitting here saying, how do I flirt as a woman? That's pressure for you. And it's also pressure for her because she knows you're flirting with her because you're trying to be like subtle. Like flirting is kind of subtle, right? Like you're doing signals, you're trying to be charming, You're trying to be sexy. It's like a pressure to be like smooth and good and flirty and amazing. And I turned her on and she turned me on. Like, to me, that sounds like too much pressure, which is why I've never done that, because I'm not good at that. I won't be good at that stuff. I won't. I know I won't. So I never even tried. And because your next question is, it sounds like you two had a threesome with a girl. And then the second time, it was a bit awkward. The atmosphere was awkward, you said. So you didn't have a threesome, even though it sounds like you wanted to the second time. You guys had already had sex, so that's like the perfect...
Yeah, I feel like after you have had sex, it's like not hard to do it again.
So without being there, I would guess, or would you say that, and we're guessing here, maybe she and her man both tried too hard to be flirty. Like, you've already had sex with her. Just be like, do you want to have sex again?
Yeah, or was
like, wasn't that fun last time?
Too tense, or like everyone was uncomfortable to make a move. And I think that...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the threesomes that we've had always start really awkwardly.
Oh, yeah. I never flirt. You don't flirt. The girl doesn't flirt. Like, there's no flirting. We just hang out and talk for a bit. Yeah, and then, I would like, just...
one say, of us will kiss the other one.
Yeah, you just like awkwardly kiss the other person. And or you just say like, so, like, do you want to... Like, the last girl that we met, you said something like, so, have you ever had a threesome or something like that?
Mm.
You just... You're like, so you don't have any experience? Or Andy tells me you have no experience. Something like that.
Mm.
It was awkward as... But, like, it doesn't need to be flirty. It really doesn't need to be flirty. Mm. We're never flirty.
No.
Like, ever. I don't think there's ever... The only time where it was, like, flirty was the first threesome with your best... And that was because you both got really drunk. Like, you both drank a glass of wine before I had even taken my shoes off. That's not even a lie. I was taking my shoes off and you guys basically just drank half a bottle of wine because you were both drunk and you were both nervous as hell. Sorry. And so you were like, let's just get drunk. And then that was kind of flirty. You guys just started making out, which was hot as hell, by the way. I was like, wow, this is fucking amazing.
So, yeah, I think to actually, I'm guessing the question is like, how do we stop that happening? Because like.
Yeah, just take the pressure off. Stop trying to be flirty. You can be flirty after you've done this like 10 times and you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you just like let it be awkward and just like an issue. Like even do like a 3, 2, 1, like go, just like do it.
Yep. In your brain, say 3, 2, 1, and then you have to kiss her or your boyfriend has to kiss her or maybe your boyfriend can kiss you.
And she'll probably be relieved that like...
You did something.
Yeah. And then she can kind of let go. And then once you start, it's always really easy. It's just that first like jumping over that hurdle.
Yeah. Starting a threesome is always a bit awkward. It just is. It is. Like, sometimes we will do it, like, you can do this with your man beforehand. Like, talk about it beforehand. And you say something like, okay, as soon as we sit on the couch, one of us has to kiss her. Like, I have to kiss her or you have to kiss her. You and I have done that before. I will say to you, as soon as she takes her shoes off, you have to kiss her. And you're like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I can't do it.
That,
yeah, like, I don't want to. I'm so nervous. And I'm like, you have to do it.
I don't like doing that at all.
And then you do it, right? You just do it. And then it's like, okay, it's fun. It's started. Sometimes I will do that. Sometimes we'll be sitting on the couch and I will just say like, so are you guys going to kiss or what? And then you just both look at each other nervous and I'll be like, hurry up and kiss. And then you just will.
There's nothing smooth about it, but.
Yeah, it's not smooth. It's not flirty. It's
removing the expectation for it to be as such.
Some girls we've even said like, take your top off, haven't we?
Yeah.
We did that with Nike girl.
Yeah.
You know who I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we're just like, do you want to take your... You said something like, aren't you feeling a little bit hot? Like she was wearing a big jacket and you were like, aren't you feeling a bit hot? Take your jacket off. And then we just took her clothes off. You can do that. Just literally like take the girl's clothes off.
Yeah, it's not just much subtlety kiss her. To it in retrospect.
Yeah. But you guys can kiss each other. Although I recommend just kissing the girl, not each other, because she might be like, oh, fucking hell, I feel awkward. Like you guys are a couple and you just start making out and ignore me.
Yeah, but I think as long as it's initiated like, you're going to have sex. This is like a sexual like environment. You just do it. Like it'll be awkward and kind of tense but just do it and it'll be fine.
Okay, to be fair, like we don't know where they are. So if you're at your apartment, you should just be having like just have sex straight away. Mm-hmm. Just like kiss her. One of you kiss her. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it beforehand and say like, okay, I will be the one that kisses her and you just do it. Mm-hmm. Or you can just actively say like, do you want to kiss me or do you want to kiss each other? We've said that before. I've said that to girls. I've said like, do you want to kiss Imogen? And the girl like smiles and kind of giggles and looks down. And then, you know, I say like, if you want to kiss her, you can kiss her. Or sometimes, I think it was like the second girl that we met. Like I said, like, do you want to touch Imogen's like tits or something like that?
Mm.
And like, she was nervous, but she did it. Like, so you can just say that. if you guys are at a bar or something when you're doing this, it's a little bit different. You still don't need to flirt, though. Just have a nice conversation.
And then invite them home.
Yeah, and then just say, like, do you want to come back to our place and have another drink? That's all you got to say. Like, come back to our place and we'll have another drink. And if she says yes, it's like, okay, that means she wants to have sex with you guys.
Yeah.
She's not stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I wonder what we're going to do at your place while we're drunk and you're a couple and you're into each other and you've been, like, talking to me and touching me. You don't even have to touch her, by the way, but do that if you want. Yeah, I don't think you need to be flirty. You're asking the two wrong people for how to flirt because we don't flirt. And maybe that's a good answer for you. You don't have to flirt. Like, we've had a lot of threesomes and we haven't flirted. You don't have to flirt either.
But, like, you know, Hollywood and, like, film and TV, they, like, build up, like, courtship and, like, the act of, like, the lead up to sex. This is, like, this big, like, scripted sort of thing. And it's, like, it's not. It's, like, uncomfortable and awkward. And none of you really know what to do. But that's fine.
Because you can flirt once you're more experienced anyway.
Yeah.
Like, we've done some of that stuff. Like, some of the girls have come over and you're already wearing, like, lingerie. And you're wearing your big, like, high heel boots and, like, you look all sexy and stuff. You're in your lingerie. That's pretty flirty. But, like, there's no way you could have done that at the start. You were too nervous.
Of course. I used to just get so
nervous.
Like,
yeah, you were so nervous. You were, like, shaking and... Yeah. But once you do this a little bit, you know, you'll learn how to flirt. Don't feel like you have to flirt at the start. You can do that after you've met, like, a couple of girls and you know what you're doing. Mm. It's a bit easier to flirt. Like, it's easier for you and I to flirt now. Like, I'm not nervous when we meet a new girl. You are a little bit,
I'm
but
a little
nowhere.
Bit way less nervous, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and we can flirt for sure. We do sometimes. We tease the girls. Sometimes we tease them. Like, a couple of girls, we've just, like, started caressing their body over their clothes and, like, teasing them. You whisper stuff in their ear.
I feel like this is all more like foreplay than flirting. I mean, my definition of flirting.
Fine, yeah. But that's my point. You don't really need flirting.
Yeah, just, like, you can get to know them.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
But again, if you do want to flirt, like, I would just suggest what we said, which is just ask questions about sex. Like, what's your most fun experience? Or, like, do you have anything on your bucket list? Do you have anything you've always wanted to try in the bedroom? Like, something like that. You're a girl, so it's way easier for you to get away with asking these questions.
Yeah, it's more
to
playful.
Another girl.
It's more playful.
It's like a fun little playful thing. Yeah. So, just ask questions. Don't worry about being, like, super romantic and flirty like Hollywood or any of that stuff. You don't really need to do that. Just, like, talk about sex in a fun way. Mm-hmm. A question from me, Peter, for you, Andy. So Peter's the guy, her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Get off me. There's a bug on me. Mm. I don't appreciate that. Mm. How can I improve in telling or showing my girlfriend that I love her more often, which I rarely do because I feel awkward every time? I'm also feeling kind of bad about not showing it enough. Mm. What did I say? I said you got to outsource. So you need to find one of your friends who's very comfortable with saying these things. Mm-hmm. Pay him, like, buy him a beer. You Germans have a lot of good beer. I know that. So just buy him, like, a big beer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And get him to tell your girlfriend. So he can either text it to her and then just put your name at the end. Or he can write her a letter, say, like, hey, I love you. Love, Peter.
It sounds like an infallible plan. Yeah.
Or what else could he do? He can call her and, like, try and sound like you, like, put your voice on. Or maybe, okay, if you get him to, like, hide behind your couch and you're sitting with your girlfriend and you just, like, you have your arms around her and your mate just yells out, I love you. And, like, yeah, she'll think that you said that. So that's probably my advice. What's your advice? What can he do? I don't think you can do better advice than that. That was perfect.
Well, I experienced something very similar to this because I was...
Yeah,
and
you couldn't say you loved me.
I was very emotionally closed off. I made a big fuss about even saying it in the first place. And then even after I'd said it the first time that I loved you, I had to work up to saying it because I just felt uncomfortable and weird and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had a conversation with you. I think I remember one point being like, I feel weird saying I love you. And you're like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it basically also...
Yeah, go.
I was just saying, it got to a point where now you kind of just keep saying it and then it stops becoming weird. You just got to make yourself say it more.
Yeah, you have to kind of force yourself to say it.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've already been in a relationship for 8 years, like...
I was going to say that, yeah.
You've probably built into a habit in which it's like this big, weird, uncomfortable thing. So maybe at the start it is just a case in which you kind of just have to keep forcing yourself to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Or be affectionate, or do all of that sort of stuff until it's less weird and more commonplace, and then it'll get easier and easier over time. If it's something you want to do and she would like that, which I'm sure most people would, just force yourself to do it. After a while, it won't be so hard. That's my, like, short answer.
Next thing I'll say is we should talk about love languages. So, if you don't know what that means, I'll leave a link down below in the show notes. I'll leave a link to a few other things in the show notes below. So that will be at theinnerwinnershow.com/ what day are we on?
48.
So theinnerwinnershow.com/48. But there's a thing called love languages. And basically people express their love in different ways. Some people do it by actively saying, I love you. Some people like to express their love by giving gifts. Yeah. Some people like to do what's known as acts of service. So, like, I'll show you I love you by doing the dishes or by mowing the lawn for you or cleaning your car for you, something like that. Mm. Other people is affection. They like to give a lot of hugs. I'm affection and also, like, verbal. Mm. Probably more verbal, but I do love affection.
Mm. Some people just like spending time.
Spending time is one. Yep, just like hanging out with each other. That's how I show you I love you. I spend a lot of time with you. We just chill on the couch and that means I love you. It sounds like your love language is not as much verbal. And this is something you can change. Like Imogen said, if you just like do it a lot, you'll eventually get used to it. Yeah. But you probably, or maybe you like expressing love in a different way. Maybe like, as I've just said those things, you're like, oh my God, like if I spend time with her, that's how I show her I love her. Yeah, that's me showing that I love someone. I spend time with them. Tell her that. And obviously like, hello, Kara, you're listening to this. You guys should sit down and have a conversation and figure out like how you guys express love, like how he expresses it and how you express it. And then say, okay, I'm not that great at telling you I love you, but you kind of know I love you. Otherwise, I wouldn't still be here. Yeah. And I will try really hard to say it more. But every time we hang out, that's me showing you that I love you. I want you to know that every time we hang out, that's because I love you. Or every time I do something for you, which I do stuff for you all the time, I'm doing that because I love you. I don't do that with all my friends. I only do that with the people I really care about. And I'm trying to show you that.
Yeah. I think on the topic of love languages, there's an element of, because there's two parts of it. It's like how you show love and how you would like to receive love.
Yep.
And I think you kind of need to find a happy compromise. If it doesn't match up, if she would like to receive love more verbally, but you don't want to give it in such a way, maybe like there is an element of needing to come to a sort of agreement where she knows that you don't like showing love by telling her that you love her.
Yep.
And kind of, you know, accepts that you show it in a different way. But then at the same time, I mean, to make her feel loved, give like put in some sort of effort to sometimes like verbally telling her, because that's how she would like it to be expressed. I think it's just, yeah, finding a compromise. If you like, I think in terms of actually saying it, I think that can be pretty easily overcome. But if it is like a really, really, really big thing and like it's not something you even enjoy doing and can't find enjoyment from, like, yeah, like you said, having a conversation, letting her know that like, maybe I don't do a very good job at expressing it.
Yeah, just say, like, I really hate saying it and maybe I'll always hate saying it.
But like,
and I'll try to work on it and I'll say it a bit more. But, yeah, I'm never going to love doing it. Is there other stuff I can do to show you that I love you?
Yeah. And or even just say, like, this is – when I do this, this is how I'm showing you that I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, just so she knows.
Yeah. And I even think that, like, when you then do that action or behavior or spend more time with her, like, she will know, like, oh, that's, like, him showing me that he loves me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you're saying like you want to, you said I don't say that I love her enough, but I also don't show it. You use the same word. You feel like, no, you did. You also said I feel bad about not showing it enough. Just explain to her that like, I clearly love you. That's why I do this and this and this. Show her the things that you're doing right now. Because right now you'll be doing things like I'm the same. Like I'm a man just like you. Men, I think, are better at showing our love than saying it. Because we do the same with other men. That's kind of how we've always been brought up. Like, that's just what we're like. Like, if you love your buddy, if you really fucking give a shit about your buddy, you'll do stuff for him. You will help him move. If he's really sad about an ex-girlfriend or something, you'll be like, bro, let's go to the pub. Like, or I'm going to buy you some steak or something. You go hang out. It's like, you never at any point in that night say, like, bro, I love you. Like, you're not going to say that. But, like, he knows, like, yeah, my bro, like, helped me move. Like, he came and took me to a pub. Like, he looked after me. He gave me a call. He just sent me a text on the weekend saying, like, hey, bro, like, are you okay? Like, what are you up to? I hope you're going well. Like, we're never going to reach out, or it's very rare for us to reach out and say, like, bro, I care about you. Whereas girls are much more likely to say, like, I love you. I care about you. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that we're just better at expressing our love and our affection just by doing stuff. So I would say, sit down together and, yeah, just say, like, every time I do these things, this is me showing you I care. Like, this is just how I show I care. There's a reason that I spent, I don't know what you're doing. Like, there's a reason I spent like 10 hours fixing your car for you. It's because I care about you, not because I want your car to work. I don't give a fuck about your car. I did this because I don't want you to be sad, or I don't want you not to have a car. Or that time where I took you on a road trip or something when you're a bit sad about your dad or something, you know, and I took you on a road trip and we played music and I played your favorite songs. I did that shit because I love you.
Yeah, like caring for somebody else is like how I express.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I myself am really good at saying I love you. Like, I'm good at that because I've practiced it. Mm. I get that most guys, or a lot of guys, probably aren't that great at it. I honestly don't think you need to say it as much as you think you need to say it. I think as long as you have this conversation and you try and say it as much as you can, because obviously she probably likes to hear that.
Yeah.
But I think if you sit down and say, listen, like, these are all the things that I have done to show you that I love you.
Yeah, I think as long as both people in the relationship feel loved, there doesn't need to be some sort of quota of action or words or behaviors that are met to do an adequate job at showing. As long as they feel as if they're being loved.
And let's make this really meta. How can you show that you love her? You just fucking have. You wrote a paragraph. It's the only question that you, Peter, asked on this podcast. You had an entire podcast. You could have asked any question in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. And you asked, how do I show my girlfriend that I love her more? I love her, but I don't know how to show it. Yeah. That's fucking love, dude. That's like the definition of showing her that you love her. That's like the action you would take if you love someone and you're trying to show them that you love them. Mm. You would say, how can I show you that I... You would ask someone else, how can I show her that I love you? So that us answering this question, when she listens to this, there you go. Like, that's, you've just shown her. Mm-hmm. But you didn't, if you want us to say it, like, Caro, Peter loves you. There you go. We said it. You got to say it too.
There's outsourcing.
Say it, yeah.
I said, Caro, Peter loves you.
Yeah, and sorry for mispronouncing your name.
Caro? I don't know.
It's probably Caro.
Caro?
Yeah. What sounds and German names are normally really easy to say because it's like somewhat similar to English. Like, both languages are you can look at a German word. And then it, like, know roughly what it is in English. So, like, it's probably Caro, because that's how I'd say it in English, Caro.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, you already love her, clearly, or you wouldn't have asked the question. Should we talk about...
What
should we wrap it up?
You skipped?
Well, I already read that one out. I don't think we need to talk anymore. We should do a podcast at some point. I've said, like, about our dynamic with girls, like, what it's like with girls that we meet.
Mm.
We did talk about it a little bit now, and we've talked about it a little bit in previous podcasts. Mm. We'll wrap it up. I hope we answered all your questions. If we didn't, email me. I'm going to email you with a link to this anyway, both of you two. Mm. Tell us if we didn't answer anything, or if there's anything else you want to ask, or if there's any more context you want to give, because we didn't, like, know what you meant by a couple of questions, because, like, you know, we're not in your life. We don't know exactly what you mean. Mm. And if anyone else listening is in a relationship, and either you or both of you or your girlfriend want to ask us any questions, like anything at all about any of this stuff, about like creativity, about making female friends, about self-improvement, about sex, about threesomes, about BDSM, about how to have a strong relationship, about how to like show each other you care, like anything like that, just like send me an email. So theinnerwinnershow.com/contact. You can ask Imogen questions and she'll answer them. You can ask me questions. You can ask us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing as if you're in, like, if you're single or you're dating a girl and you want to start introducing her to some of this stuff. Mm. Like, you don't have to be in a long-term relationship. Like, maybe you're single and you want to start doing this stuff with girls. Like, you want to start having threesomes with girls, or you want to start introducing the girls that you're dating to self-improvement. You want to, like, help build their life as, you know, ask away. Mm. Anything else you want to say? Mm. Hugs and kisses to everybody. And also, Germans are cool.
Mm-hmm.
I should have been born a German.
Okay.
I keep saying that. I should have been a German. Maybe Germany will adopt me.
I mean, we can travel to Germany.
Germany, like anyone it. German listening, Peter and...
Caro.
I'm pretty sure it's Caro. I'm just going to say Caro. Peter and Caro, will you guys adopt me as a German? Not Imogen, because I don't think she'd be a good German. She's not like... I'm the best German. Will you guys adopt me as a German? Yes or no? If the answer is no, fuck. They're German, so they're just going to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay. Just say yes or no. You're going to break my heart if you say no, but it's fine.